Log Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 16th, 2012, episode 316, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, I do apologize. Today's show is sponsored by Omega Alpha. It is Monday. I do not have my head about me. And my notes here are apparently from Friday. So thanks for editing, whoever's in charge of that. Because you know I will just read whatever's in front of my face. Okay.
It is Omega Alpha Monday. Yes, it is.
It is Omega Alpha Monday. I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Glenn, Jennifer, did you guys have a good one?
Yes, we went out to the MSEDA, the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association party on Saturday night out at, where was it, Jennifer, out at Spindletop. Yep, and so we had a great time there, and we almost spent some money on your behalf, Jamie. I will have you know, they had a silent auction, and they had a big painting of Zenyatta. And then also they had a Zenyatta gift pack, which included a trip for four to visit her and also a signed photo by Mike Smith of he and Zenyatta and everything. But to be honest, everything went much higher than we were willing to pay on your behalf.
Well, since you're probably only willing to pay $3, $4, how much did it go for? Because I would have paid more.
It went for hundreds. I didn't see what the final totals were, but everything was getting pretty good bids. But we did think of you on Saturday night as we were looking at all the Zenyatta stuff that was there.
Not enough to text me and say, do you want this? How much will you spend? Hello? Come on. Seriously? Oh, God.
We were saving money for your trip. We were helping you save money. I was thinking about Chad. I was being a good horse husband.
Yeah, done. I'm not talking to you anymore. Jennifer, so, no, you're part of it too. So, yeah, we had a good weekend here. It's actually raining in Phoenix right now. My poor horses are wearing blankets. It's 50 degrees outside, but it's raining. So, it's a bizarre weather day here in Phoenix. How is Kentucky? Is it warming up at all?
It's been very cold over the weekend and still staying cold this week. We're supposed to get some rain, same as you. We're supposed to get some rain. It's supposed to be just a pretty miserable buddy. It's mud central. As soon as the temperature goes below above 32, everything turns to mud again. So at least you don't have the mud to deal with.
Right now we have frozen tundra.
I love frozen tundra. Yeah, I love complaining about my weather in the winter. I'm like, oh, my God, it's raining for once, and it's 50. Whew, it's freezing to death over here. Jennifer, what is on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha, OMG, it's Monday already.
Sorry.
Pay attention because there is a quiz. Kevin Price, the United States Pony Club's head honcho, will be here to stump the hosts with a bit of Monday morning trivia, so plan on playing along with that. And to continue on the smart folks on morning podcast theme, Samantha Lendl of the Professional Riders Organization and her sidekick Jessica Phoenix of Team Omega Alpha, just so happens, are here to tell us about the Pro Derby Cross Team competition That's coming up January 20th. I believe this is the second one. Is that right, Glenn?
Yeah, it's the second one. Yep. Was, so we'll find out all about that.
Enthusiastically received last year. Can't wait to see it this year. So stay tuned, folks. All the news that's fit to chat about, we'll be here.
Thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate that. And, you know, it isn't bad enough that they bring a pony clubber that was, what, 16, 17 years old on last year to whoop us and beat us up and stump the host. But now they're bringing the big boss, the big gun, CEO of the pony club. We're doomed. I can't even play words with friends. I lose it every game. I haven't won one yet.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that, and I was almost mentioned it before the show started, and I didn't because it's Glenn, when we last spoke here on the radio show, we decided to do a Words with Friends that we would not talk about on the air because nobody really cares, but we would still continue with the horsey words.
Oh, see, I thought we abandoned the horsey words. That's what I remember.
No, you did not think that because you were clearly there for the discussion, unless you're just like a man and you don't listen to anything a woman says, which is probably
that's pretty much
true in your case. And we discussed, and all of a sudden I start getting words like raven and these completely not horsey words.
Yeah, I thought we abandoned that.
And I'm going to start this game over. Why? Because I have been doing my darndest to just play horse words, and here you are throwing out tatas and X's and smut and raven and John, and I'm playing things like rider and shows and wages, all these horse words, and you have completely cheated, so I want a rematch.
Hey, Jamie, you're breaking up a little. I can't quite hear you. Now onto the Daily Winnies.
I'm teetering on the edge of very mad at you, okay?
My Daily Winnie goes out to Lisa D'Amico Weir, who is a new name, I think, posting on her Facebook page. And she said, I have to tell you, I look forward to every day to see what you guys post on Facebook. I love it. Please keep up the good work. You are doing a great job. It puts a smile on my face every day. So that really, Daily Winnie, goes out to Lisa and my wife, Coach Jen, who does all the posting for us in the mornings during the show. She does a terrific job. And for that, we're going to give her a gift. There is one person out there, Jennifer, that loves your posting, and it puts a smile on their face.
Woohoo! I've just doubled my fan base. Woohoo!
You're getting huge. Don't let it go to your head. Speaking of Facebook, this was posted on the Facebook page over the weekend, and this just goes to show you people. Catherine Bruden Adams posted, my Troxel helmet saved me last Friday when my horse reared and slipped off of a curb, flipping over with me and hitting my head on the pavement. I probably would not be sending this message right now without it. I never, ever ride without my helmet, vest, cell phone, and horse ID tags. Anything I can do to help get the message out as to how important safety gear is when riding would be great. I could care less how my hair looks. I want to be alive to ride forever. Amen, sister. There is just something about being able to put that helmet on and tell your story the next day after a fall. I got out to the arena this past weekend without my helmet. And it's a good long walk for me and a pain in the butt to get all the way back. And I was on my horse. And, you know, you get halfway out there, and I'm like, I felt like I was not wearing my bra or something, like, very important. You know what I mean? Like, you get out there, like, something is missing. Something is missing. So, yeah, I did not have my helmet either. And I went back and got it, of course, because you cannot. I just can't. I feel naked without a helmet. So, people, please, wear your helmets. My second Daily Winnie.
Oh.
What?
Hold on one second. Before you go on, can I make a comment about that? This Saturday, last past Saturday, what she was referencing was a post we did about the Riders for Helmets Helmet Symposium that was held on Saturday in Wellington. And it was on live online. I watched it for a while in the morning, and I did take some sound off of it. However, I wasn't able to use it. Of Courtney King Dye actually got up and spoke at the conference. And, of course, the whole Riders for Helmets campaign was started when Courtney King Dye, a very popular dressage rider, had an accident and a severe brain injury. Remember Chris had her on the Dressage Radio Show, what, about 6 months ago, maybe? Yeah, about 6 months ago. And we played a clip of it here on the morning show. Well, I was going to play a clip for you of Courtney talking at the thing, but I'll tell you what, it was very difficult to understand. She is probably, you know, I don't know, she might have improved. She might have improved voice-wise and being able to understand her voice. However, I could not understand a lot of it on Saturday, so I just chose not to put it in the sound file and play it for you today. But, you know, that just goes to show you how important, and she said that. She said, you know, she told some stories of what her life is like today and how hard it is just to get off the couch, to get a blanket that's sitting on the chair next door, and then to get back to the couch takes her 10 minutes. You know, it's she just told a lot of stories like that, so it just brought the point home. And I just wanted to mention that I did see that, and they're going to have that posted. As soon as we find out where you can see that, I'll let you know so you can go catch it.
Brutal.
And
that's tough. My second daily, when he goes to my husband, he and I both had craft projects this weekend because I'm an awesome wife. I actually have a picture of my craft project. So, Jennifer, if you don't mind posting that on our Facebook page, I'd love to get people's thoughts and thoughts on what I did craft-wise. My husband, however, he did something a little bigger and a little better. And he, Glenn, remember I told you that when it rains here, I have to run outside and cover my hay with a tarp?
Yep.
That's like the only thing I have to do.
3 days a year when it rains.
Yeah. Well, Chad built, because I think he got tired of losing money because it always surprises us when it rains here. He built a roof over my hay storage. Literally,
wow.
A roof. It looks so good. He did such a good job. And this is coming from my fighter pilot husband who had never owned a power tool in his entire life. And he has improved so much. He gets my daily winnie for doing it. Now, my craft project was a little bit different because even though I live on a farm and my house is at the very back of our property, people still drive down our driveway to sell us things or to try to get us in good with Jesus or whoever their religious preference is. So I made a sign that I'm going to hang on our farm gate. And the sign is on Facebook. And what it says, Glenn, do you have Jehovah's Witnesses at your house to come to your house?
Yes, because we live in a subdivision. It's very easy for – you know what we get more of than anything, though? Is the yard companies, you know, the people who take care of your yards and come spray stuff and things. The lawn companies come around. There must be 10 of them every spring that stop here.
That's how I met Francisco, because he showed up at my house and said, "Can I trim your palm trees?" That's the only English he knew. "Can I trim your palm trees?" Yeah, so Francisco, he actually made some money at our house. But I understand what you're saying. I live on a farm that is like, in the back of the property. These people are very serious about doing their job and getting in here. So I made a sign and I put little screw eyes in and I painted it. It's on Facebook right now. And in the Flyover Farms, red, white, and blue. Can you see it, Glenn?
I do see it. And can I ask you how you spell solicitor?
No. Did I spell it wrong? I did not spell it wrong. Oh.
At you, though.
Why does everybody do that to me? You're the third person to do that to me. So my craft project is a big no and blue and no solicitors and no witnessing. There's no witnessing allowed. And I was hoping because we get the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. And I think that, am I wrong? Witnessing is just people coming up and like trying to convert you. I didn't know. I couldn't figure out how to say no religious people allowed because that sounds really horrible. Because we like
religious people.
I think
this probably gets the point across.
You think this does it? And I didn't know whether to put witnessers or witnessing. I don't know. Because our last sign said no solicitors, and then the Jehovah's Witnesses came up and they said, "We're not selling you anything." Because I was like, "We have a sign, no solicitors. We're not selling you anything. We just want you to give you these books. And we want you to read these. And then I'd like to come back and discuss them with you." And I said, Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, I'm going to change my sign.
It is. It does. I will say Jennifer made a comment there that Martha's got nothing to worry about, and I will agree with Jennifer. I mean, it gets the point across, but it certainly Martha has nothing to worry about. And don't you hate it when you're doing signs like that and you start it out and then you start painting and everything and you're doing witnessing and then you get to the S and then you realize there's no room for the ING? Don't you hate that?
That's why I thought I did fantastic. I fit both of those in on a pre-cut board, and all I had was a paintbrush. I thought that was pretty darn good. I mean, you know, whatever. Screw you guys.
Good job. And there were some others that did a good job, and we found out about them over the weekend, and that was the USEF Awards, United States Equestrian Federation Awards. Now, there were a bunch of them. We can't cover them all here on the show this morning. We're going to cover a few that we know were the big news of the weekend, and I have some sound here from it, thanks to the United States Equestrian Federation TV website. We were able to provide you with some of these sound files. Well, the first one I wanted to talk about has a relationship with the show here, and that was Junior Equestrian of the Year. That went to Jacob Arnold, who is the son of Mike Arnold of DrivingNews.us, who has done driving updates for us here on the morning show, and is a regular guest on the driving radio show here on the Horse Radio Network. And he also is an affiliate of ours. He has the link up so that people can listen to our show right from his website at drivingnews.us. Well, his son, Jacob Arnold, won Junior Equestrian of the Year. He is a driver and a very good one. Is actually going to be working his way up the top ranks of the sport here in the next couple of years. And I'd like to play a little clip I have for you of an interview that they did with him, just a short one, after the award.
It means a great deal. I really feel honored to win this award. Just the fact that I got chosen, I really had no idea it was going to happen. I went in thinking I probably didn't have a shot, but I was really, really happy about it. And just to be able to hopefully bring more attention to combined driving on a national scale and maybe an international scale, I really think I'm really, really excited about it. Yeah, my Morgan horse, Spring Hollow Dark Shadow, we've had for, I think, 11 years, a long, long time. My father competed her before I did, I think starting in maybe 2003. And in 2007, I started competing her and moved up the levels from training all the way up to advanced. My highlight would probably have to be the Little Everglades CDE when I won my first international competition. I was so excited when I finished the Cones course. I was really nervous going in. And then I went double clear at the last end of cone, so couldn't have been happier. That was the best part, I think.
That was Jacob Arnold, who is the Junior Equestrian of the Year for 2011.
Okay, now, I'm sorry. When I heard, I was like, I was kind of in and out with that because I'm doing some other stuff, posting some stuff on Facebook, and he said that he loves the Everglades CD, and I was like, and why is he talking about what band he likes? Really, is this? It's the Everglades
CDE.
CDE.
Combined driving event.
I mean, it shows how much I know about driving. I'm glad you're the driving expert.
Stephen
I'm like, Everglades,
Peters
I haven't heard of that band.
Stephen Peters won the 2011 Equestrian of the Year for the third time. So that was, and yet, listen to what he has to say about winning this for the third time.
So, Stephen, 3 years you've been Equestrian of the Year. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's amazing, especially when you look at all the people who won the awards before me. It's a huge honor to be to have your name on that same list. I mean, it's incredible. And when I went up on stage today, when David announced my name, I was truly speechless for a moment. And I'm glad I had that little slideshow lined up just in case I would win it, because I really couldn't think about the correct words at that time.
So 2011 was a great year. What's on tap for 2012?
Well, you know, we have a huge horse show in the middle of the summer coming up called the Olympic Games. And, you know, the neat thing is I have two wonderful horses that might have a shot of competing there. And none of this would be possible without the amazing support from the wonderful friends and sponsors that I have. And that's Akiko and Jerry, who own Ravel, Bruce and Jen, who own Magic, and my wonderful coach and wife at home, Shani. So you know, it's a huge team effort, and I'm excited to bring that team, hopefully, to London next year, this year.
So finally, how are you going to celebrate tonight?
You know, it was a little bit like this in 2009 as well, when I won it there. There wasn't something really planned, and before we know it, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then it was time to go to the airport. So sometimes it works out that way, so there's a lot of friends here, and it could be a long night.
And I'm sure it was. That was Stephen Peters talking about his winning for the third time, the 2011 Equestrian of the Year.
Impressive.
Go ahead.
Just absolutely impressive. I mean, that's unprecedented. And to win, to be that kind of competitor at that level for that long is just, I mean, round of applause to him. Stephen Peters.
Terrific. And he's great horses, and hopefully he'll represent us well in the Olympics in 2012. Well, then, of course, we talked about it on Friday, who was going to be the horse of the year. And there were two winners of the horse of the year, a Frisian one, whose name I can't even say, and then the one that we were all talking about because we kind of have a relationship with him here on the Horse Radio Network, and he did win it, and that was Boyd Martin Neville Bartow. And, of course, Neville has a backstory to him, which we're going to let Samantha Clark, the old host of the 2010 radio show, she did the promo piece for the awards banquet for the USEF. You're going to recognize this voice. Yes, Robert Dunn, and yes, Rhonda Crabtree. This is Samantha Clark doing this. So this was this will last about 3.5 minutes, but I think you'll enjoy it.
He was trapped in a burning barn for 45 minutes. The fact that he lived is remarkable. The fact that he jumped around the world's toughest CCI four-star 3 months later is a miracle. But Neville Bardos, owned by a syndicate bearing his name, has been defying odds his entire life. A failed racehorse in Australia, Boyd Martin took a chance on him and bought him without ever even sitting on him. A chronic windsucker, the little chestnut gelding with a unique white face, never realized what he wasn't meant to achieve in life. He moved to the U.S. with Martin in 2007, and they both repatriated as Americans. They won the 2009 USEF National CCI Three-Star Championship and went on to represent their new country at the 2010 All-Tech World Equestrian Games. They were the top-placed Americans, finishing 10th. 2011 began with a second-place finish in the CIC Three-Star at the Red Hills Horse Trials in March. Neville strained his shoulder in that effort and returned to his Pennsylvania home for stall rest. He had only just started work again when the fire ripped through Martin's barn on Memorial Day and claimed the lives of 6 horses. Neville was the last horse pulled from the blaze, suffering severe damage to his lungs and throat. But the little horse never exhibited the effects of the pain he must have been feeling. His blood work was terrible, but he fought and fought and cribbed, and ate, and miraculously he got better. He helped Martin get better too. Immediately following the fire, Martin's father Ross died from injuries sustained in a bicycling accident in Australia. And then, Martin's wife Silva lost her father to cancer. It was rock bottom for the Martin family, but they soldiered on. Boyd circled the date of the Land Rover Burley horse trials on the calendar in September, and set about getting his beloved horse to England. He took it one day at a time and listened to every breath and every step the horse took. Martin needed something to look forward to, and Neville kept telling him that he was okay. They got to England by way of 2 horse trials in New York, and Martin vowed that at any point, if Neville wasn't right, he would stop. Neville was more than right. They rocketed around the cross-country course and jumped one of only 9 double clear rounds. It was a vintage course, massive jumps and relentless galloping. Neville thrived and finished 7th. A fairy tale end to a horrific tragedy. They say horses help heal people. Neville Bardos's trip to Burley helped heal Boyd, his family, and a community that was deeply affected by the fire. Boyd pulled him out of the blaze by his cribbing collar with the help of Philip Dutton, and Neville returned the favor by restoring Martin's faith in his horses, his business, and himself.
Oh my God. Excuse me. That is well done. That was very well done by Samantha. And just congratulations to Neville Bardos, horse of the year. The horse is like horse of the decade. My God, to come back from what he did and go. And I mean, he is a shortlist for the Olympic Games. Okay. Like, we're talking big deal. This horse is amazing. Glenn, are you there?
Yeah, this horse was in that burning barn for 45 minutes before they got him out. It's just an amazing story.
It really is. Sorry, I get a little weepy hearing that, because just all the things that happened to Boyd Martin and his family and his wife's family and the whole experience, and the fact that they pulled him out. You know, you look at how many of us are like, oh, don't buy that horse, he's a cribber. He's a cribber, you don't want that horse. And then they pulled him out by his cribbing collar. Like, he might not be alive today if he wasn't a cribber. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because they didn't have time to put a halter on some of these horses, you know. It was just throw a lead rope around their necks and go.
Yeah, it
was amazing. I'm so glad he won. And they actually, the other horse that won was a Frisian that was in the, that actually won like 8 championships in the, let me think here. Was it I was so focused on Neville, I didn't even pay any attention to the other horse that won. That's how I paid out to
I know, and that's the sad thing about the poor guy. He's like, yeah, you may have won every championship. I think he won like every championship with like 10 different people, and nobody, you know, that knows who Boyd is. It's like, whatever, there's another horse. Who cares? Isn't that terrible?
It
was a horse. Gosh, I can't even find it either. It's bad that we can't find it in the news.
Now, there was another. Jimmy Wofford collected a Lifetime Achievement Award and spoke and apparently gave the awards were 2 hours long, and I was going through the video and audio, and I just didn't have time to go through all of them. But he won a Lifetime Achievement Award and gave a rousing speech, which I'll put together for us later in the week. So he's a well-deserving of that award as well. There were a lot of other Lifetime Achievement Awards and everything that happened. You can go to usef.org, and you can see the videos at their website, too. Just go to usef.org and follow the links from there.
The other Horse of the Year winner was, I believe it's Sojourd. Is that how you say it? Sjoerd. I'm sure somebody can correct me and tell me how to pronounce it. But this horse, it's an amazing horse. I mean, he doesn't have the kind of story that makes you cry. But the horse Sojourd is a Frisian horse, and he spent the year on pretty much every single type of division and class and rider. This horse won 4 Grand National Championships. Oh, I'm sorry, was named World or Grand National Champion 14 times in 2011. He's only 6 years of age. He was ridden by 10 different people. He won 14 times with 10 different people. So just an amazing horse, an amazing story, and apparently just an absolutely beautiful stallion, because he's undefeated in the halter division. Every time he's in a halter class, he wins it, and he is just a gorgeous Frisian stallion. Oh, I mean, how can you look at a Frisian stallion and not think it's gorgeous? But he did share the spotlight with Neville Bardos. Congratulations to him, too. Whatever.
Yeah, he is a good-looking Frisian, that's for sure.
Oh,
he's well put together. Yeah, you would want to breed your horse to him, for sure. So that's congratulations to all the winners there at the USEF Awards over the weekend. Congratulations to you all. It looked like a fun night, and it looked like everybody had a good time. David O'Connor was emceeing the night, and you can find all of those videos at US. You can watch the whole awards ceremony there. Just go to usef.org and check it out there. Well, now we're going to talk about Omega Alpha, and Then we're going to come back, and we're going to get quizzed. We're going to get schooled today. It's our turn to be put on the chopping block again. You know, we never do very well with these.
Speak for yourself. I do well. Well,
I think
we keep it up.
What planet
do you think you beat me in horse care and horse stuff last week? Please, come on now. You know what? I let that one day slide when you said, well, Jamie and I don't train horses. Jennifer does. And I'm like, excuse me, I train horses for a living. Please do not throw me under the bus with you.
I was trying to lower expectations so that if we didn't do well, you would look silly. See, I was looking out for you.
And then my clients that listen to the show are like, why are we paying her? I appreciate it.
This show is brought to you by Omega Alpha. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That is why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their product. Dr. Chang is well-respected and a regular guest here on Horses in the Morning and is an industry pioneer in putting together the right natural ingredients to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse. You can find them all at omegaalpha.ca. Omegaalpha.ca. And we thank them. Also, we're going to be talking about Omega Alpha sponsoring one of the teams in the Derby coming up that we're going to talk about a little later in the show. And we're going to have Jessica Phoenix on with us at 10 o'clock to talk about that because she is a member of the Omega Alpha team, along with a bunch of her friends up there from Canada. So we're going to talk about that as well. We appreciate Omega Alpha supporting the support of eventing and the fun that goes on down there at Wellington at this particular competition. But speaking of fun, there's a group of about 7,000-8,000 kids that have fun with the United States Pony Club. So that is the United States Pony Club, and his name is Kevin Price. He's the CEO of the United States Pony Club. We talked to him once before on the show, well, I think the day before he even started his reign, and that we were over at the Kentucky Horse Park, and he stopped by for a couple minutes. But he's officially in the job now, doing his work. And good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you doing, Glenn?
Good. Thank you so much for stopping by today. So now you've actually been running the ship for a little while. How are things going? And you got your annual convention coming up in a couple weeks.
Our annual convention is going to be in New Orleans this year. And it's a week and a half away, so we're, like any other organization, when you do an annual meeting, scrambling like crazy to put the last, few details together so that when we get there, and of course, when it's being, a long distance, you have to make sure you ship everything ahead of time and have it there for when you arrive. As everyone knows today, flying is so much fun, so you can only pack so much with you.
Right, exactly. And now this is your first time that this is the first convention that you're CEO, correct?
Yes, correct. First convention I am actually the CEO of the organization. However, I've participated in many conventions in the past in other capacities.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I know that that just puts a little bit of added pressure on you this year.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I know you were a pony clubber for years and years and years, so you're used to the conventions and how everything works. It's just a little different when you're the CEO and the head of the whole thing.
It's one thing to be a passenger on board the ship. It's another thing now to be steering it. I'm not sure whether I'm in front or behind. Maybe just running back and forth on the deck.
You're chasing it.
Now, exactly.
Yeah, avoiding the iceberg.
I hope you do better than that captain did over the weekend over in Italy.
Oh, God, I hope so.
So let me ask you now, there's a lot of things obviously on the plate. What would be the big topic that you think is going to be discussed? Is there one or two big topics that are going to come up this year that are the ones that everybody's talking about?
For our annual meeting?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be any major hot or big topics. I mean, our annual meeting consists of basically board and committee meetings, but we also it's an opportunity for our leaders, our volunteer leaders, to get together to discuss issues. But we also provide training for our leaders, both the club and regional leaders, at the annual meeting. And then the other part of the annual meeting consists of educational workshops, which cover a wide range of topics. So anything from actual riding theory, jumping riding theory, dressage, venting, and then also just horse management topics that we cover as well in those workshops. But I can't say there's any specific hot topic. A lot of times it's really updating the leaders on some of the recent changes within Pony Club, and also talking with them about, you know, where we're heading and get their feedback on some of the things that we're doing and where they want to see us heading as well in the future.
Now, Kevin, this past weekend, USEF had their one fall rule. They tried, some people tried to get it changed, and this is specifically more for eventing, but to fall off a horse and you're eliminated, which was something that came into play not too terribly long ago. So they're trying to get it, some people are trying to get it changed back to where you can have more than one fall. I'm assuming that that is not a hot topic at the Pony Club. I mean, you pretty much one rule, one fall, and you're done.
Certainly it's a topic that is very relevant to Pony Club, not only the fall issue, the one fall issue, but also the concussion issue. I understand the topic of the one fall and you're done rule, where people want to change it back to have more flexibility. I think one of the challenges there is having sufficient training for the, you know, the volunteer base and other staff on the ground during a competition to make an appropriate determination of what kind of fall that would be. You know, right now the rule is very clear cut. You've had the one fall, you're done. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts. So I think people are looking for flexibility, but when you make that flexibility, you have to have a fair amount of training behind it to make sure that people make the right determination. That's similar discussions that happen with Pony Club, as well as when we were talking about the discussion on concussions and falls. You have to have that appropriate training behind the volunteer.
Right. That's tough. It's tough to get.
Yeah. It's a complex issue. It's not straightforward as you think.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they did vote that change down over the weekend. I noticed that they're not going to change that rule for this year. It's just going to stay the way it is. Whereas if you fall, you're done for the cross country round.
Right.
So Kevin, I heard that you're here to make us look silly today, and to in a game of Stump the Host. By the way, I never do well at these. I can't even play Words with Friends on my phone. I always lose. So. We'll see how I do.
Well, that makes two of us then. I'm not very good with Words with Friends, and
I'm going to be challenging.
I don't play very often. My wife
right now might have a chance of winning then. All right, so we're ready. We're ready to be stumped. Now, what kind of questions?
Okay. All right. So I'll lead off with a basic question for you. Here is. The United States Pony Club was modeled after the Pony Club, which originated in which of these countries?
England.
You didn't even let me finish.
She's cheating already.
Yeah, really. You said England?
I don't know. I was guessing. Is that right?
You're guessing. she stomped that button. You know, to get her answer in real quick.
How about you?
To be more correct, it's Great Britain. So.
Oh, same thing. Come on.
Judge is ruling Jennifer.
I'm staying out of this one, honey. I'm not arguing with the head honcho. Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
All right, we'll give her
all
that
right,
one. That
so cool. We'll move on and we'll say ask you a question here. The Pony Club curriculum is available in how many countries today? Only in the United States? 10 countries? 31 all countries offer Pony Club.
31. I got it.
Yeah, you guys are pretty good. I got to make sure you must have a copy of our annual directory.
That was a guess, but I thought it would be a good guess. I got it.
Okay.
We're evened up, Jamie. One each.
All right. The founders of Pony Club participated in which riding discipline? Mounted shooting, fox hunting, horse racing, Pony Express.
What was your guess, Jim?
Fox hunting.
Yes, they did. The founders of the Pony Club, many of whom participated in the sport of fox hunting.
2-1, baby!
I kind of didn't think it was mounted shooting unless they were shooting at the kids. I didn't think that was really one that was in there. That was pretty good to throw that one in first, though. When are they going to have mounted shooting? They sort of do in the Tetrastle. They sort of have that already where they do some shooting.
Yes, Tetrastle is one of our disciplines that the kids participate in, that they do have shooting. It's pistol range shooting with air pistols.
Right.
It's not mounted. That would be interesting to include that, but I'm not sure from a safety standpoint we want to go there yet.
Don't do it.
Now, if I may, because I can't wait to have little kids shooting guns on ponies. If they can reach down and pop balloons at a dead run on those ponies, surely they can shoot a gun on those ponies.
True.
I mean, I have to say, they do it in the Western sports, so... Although if I have any of my Pony Club leadership listening right now on this radio, they're probably going, "Oh my God, what is he talking about?"
That'll be a hot topic at the meeting. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and you know what caliber guns they shoot? Matt, they shoot 44s and 45s. So can you imagine having all these Pony Clubbers running around with 45 caliber pistols?
That's right. That's right. At least with the pistols that our members use their air pistols, and their single shot that they have to load an individual pellet into each time.
Takes a while anyway. All right, it's 2-1. Jamie, take the early lead.
Okay, U.S. Pony Club began in what year? 2011, 1903, 1928.
1954. 1954.
You got it, Glenn.
Yay! I knew that one. That wasn't a guess.
1928 was actually the British Pony Club.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I thought it was less than 100 years old, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Actually, there was some formation effort for the United States Pony Club in the 30s, and of course, it didn't continue forward. It was the late 30s, and I think some of that had to do with implications coming into World War II. So it actually didn't form officially until 1954. So,
all right, that's what I thought.
Okay, next.
Two all.
All right. Okay. Let's see. 1974, the U.S. Pony Club National Office was located in Hollywood, California, Lexington, Virginia, Westchester,
Virginia.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Kentucky Horse
Virginia.
Park.
Nope, stumped you on that one. Give
really?
Me a second try.
We're both wrong?
Yeah, you're both wrong on that one.
What
Pennsylvania.
Was the option again?
Yeah, it was Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Pony Club actually started in the first national office was in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and was out of working out of someone's house.
I didn't know that. Wow. Huh.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so much the garage, but it was working out of their house. Yeah, every big company starts out of someone's house or garage, right?
That's true. That's true. Starting someone's basement. There you go. I didn't know that. Wow.
Okay.
It's because it's not on your cheat sheet right in front of you, Glenn.
I'm not, no cheat sheet for me. Now, we will tell everybody that the United States Pony Club is now housed at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yes.
Yes, we are now housed in Lexington, Kentucky. Yes. Okay, at the wonderful horse park. All right,
next question. Here we go.
Was the year that USPC had the largest percentage of boy members on record. At that time, the percentage was 30%. Currently, USPC has what percentage of boys? 2%, 9%, 15%, 22%?
9.
I'm saying 15%.
I'll go 9.
Now, Jamie's got it correct.
Really?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
What year did you say was the most?
1956.
If there's any 30%. Teenage boys listening to me today, take my advice. If you are riding horses and there's a pony club near you, join the pony club. Girls, pony club girls love boys that are in the pony club. You will be an instant hit. I don't care if you were as dorky as me growing up. I wish I had joined pony club. If only I had known.
I will agree with everything you said on that comment, Glenn, except I wasn't dorky growing up. So
if only we had known, if only we could go back in time, huh, Kevin, and do certain things over again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One thing I would not have done was I would definitely not have not joined Pony Club. I mean, that was probably the best choice. I guess it wasn't totally my choice. My mother kind of made it for me a little bit, but I'm glad she did. So
nice.
All right, so that
okay.
means that Jamie's taking the lead here again.
Yeah, a little bit. So, okay, 1983, USPC held its first ever blank national competition and educational opportunity, and your choices are... a rally, pony feeding frenzy, festival, annual meeting.
Festival.
Rally. Rally.
Yeah, Glenn's got it.
Hey!
Woo-hoo!
That's held every 4 years.
And this
That's
last year
we
was our festival year. So,
yeah
we hold our,
you,
our Pony Club Festival every 3 years. And that's a combination of both... our championships and educational programming during the summer.
Now, didn't they used to move around, but now they're always held at the Kentucky Horse Park?
Yes. We did move around some of our big – it wasn't really a festival as such as we know it today. It was more, our big championships, and we moved around. But festival has pretty much been here at Kentucky Horse Park, yes.
Okay, so I think we're tied up.
First year, 83.
One more. 83?
Yeah, 83 was not at the horse park. 89 was the first time.
Well, they're fun, and that's where we met you last year was when we were recording over at F Festival. It's always a good time. Thousands and thousands of kids descend upon Lexington and their ponies. All
yes.
right, let's do one more. This will be the tiebreaker now that we're evened up again.
All right, let me pick a good one from my list here of questions. Find the drum roll.
There we go.
Okay, here we go. Which of the following is not one of the ways you can participate as a member of the United States Pony Clubs? Remember, this is not question. Be a member of the United States Pony Club, of a United States Pony Club, be a member of a USPC riding club, be a member of the USPC licensed riding center, be a member of a USPC master's club.
The third one.
Yeah, I was going to guess that too. I think the riding center one. That's the only one that makes sense.
Remember, we're saying is you cannot. This is one of those is not questions.
All right, read the question again. I think I got confused.
I'll give you benefit of doubt here. Which of the following is not one of the ways you can participate as a member of USPC. And the choices are: be a member of a USPC pony club, be a member of a USPC riding club, be a member of a USPC licensed riding center, be a member of a USPC master's club.
I'm going with two. I'm changing my guess to number two.
Okay.
I'll go. I don't know what a master's club is, so I guess I'll go with that.
All right. Well, I guess on the second reading through, Glenn Reeves thought his answer, and he was correct.
Hey! I win something for a change. That never happens.
But, the ways you could be a member of Pony Club or United States Pony Clubs is join a pony club itself. You could also join as a member of a licensed riding center, because we now actually license our educational curriculum to riding centers, current businesses that wish to use our educational curriculum and processes. And you also could, as an adult older than 25, become a member of a horse master's club. Those are three
right.
main
right.
ways
that,
you can participate.
Started that not too long ago, actually. I remember it started. Well, thank you,
right.
Kevin. We appreciate you being on the show today. Best of luck at the annual conference this year. Good luck giving all your speeches and doing all of that. I'm sure it'll be fun. The hardest part is going to be making sure everybody shows up for meetings. You're doing this in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The hard part is keeping everybody in the convention center and coming to the meetings, since there's, New Orleans is such a fun city to go out and wander about in. But thank you for having me on the radio program. I very much enjoyed it, and we'll catch you next time around.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You.
Appreciate it. CEO of the United States Pony Club. I wonder if it's, is it Mardi Gras time in New Orleans? Isn't it Mardi Gras soon? When's that start?
When is Mardi Gras? I think it's in February, isn't it? So they might
like,
they might just
beginning
escape
of February.
It.
Yeah.
I'm gonna,
I think they
I'll
might
figure that out.
Just before. They might be there just before Mardi Gras. Can you imagine having the Pony Club convention during Mardi Gras?
I don't think they would be able to do that. But it's Tuesday, February 21st. So when is the convention?
All right, yeah, the convention starts the next week, so they're going to be way before. Probably planned that way for reasons.
That, and you probably can't get a hotel room in New Orleans.
That's true. Well, he was a good sport to come on and do that, and I feel good because now I've beaten you at something.
Wow. Yeah, you should be really proud of that one.
And I'm challenging him to a Words with Friends game right now because he said he hasn't ever beat anybody either, so I have a chance.
Now, I was saying, Glenn, earlier that Aubrey Miller, one of our listeners, said, I was kicking her butt. And, I was using words that are not even words. They just, you just plug them in, you hit send, and they either accept them or doesn't. And she said that she better start coming up with a bunch of good words because she can chat back and forth because she's actually losing to you. She's like, I better start getting better because I'm actually losing to Glenn. I'm like, oh.
You know what, though? I think she has now remedied that and has gotten better because I think she's beating me now. So I don't think I have one game, to be honest with you. There's not one game I'm playing, and I'm playing about 10 of them, that they aren't beating me. I'm losing in all of them. And now Wendy has challenged me to a game. What do you think the odds are of beating Wendy? She's, like, smarter than anybody.
I wouldn't play a veterinarian that specializes in Chinese medicine. Although, they do not allow Spanish words, so... Maybe you'll be okay, because I've tried to put in Spanish words, and it's like, I'm sorry, do not recognize.
They allow chi, though. I mean, geez. Anyway, let's go to our song today, and we're going to be back then to speak with Jessica Phoenix and also Samantha Lendl from the Professionals Riders Organization about the Pro Derby Cross Team Competition that's coming up this weekend. It's on the 20th. Yep, coming up this weekend. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Then we have some news stories for you also. Our song today is called Get Up and Go. It's a new one from Marianne Kennedy off of her new CD called This Love of Horses.
Get up and go, it's time to ride. Get up and go. Get up and go, it's time to ride. Get up. Get up and go, it's time to ride. Get up and go. Ride to live, live to ride. Get up and put the coffee on. Get up, go out and feed some hay. Give the horses time to scramble up some eggs. Hook up the trailer now. We gotta be on our way. This is the way we start. A perfect day. Get up and go. It's time to ride. Get up and go. Get up. Get up and go. It's time to ride. Get up. Get up. Get up and go. It's time to ride. Get up and go.
That is Marianne Kennedy, and what's the name of this song again, Glenn? Get Up and Go. And I like any song that has whinnying in it.
Yeah, there's not enough songs with whinnying, with fake movie whinnies in them.
No. See, Get Up and Go, Marianne Kennedy. It's off her new CD, This Love of Horses. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. And I believe, Glenn, we've got our next guest on the line, and I'm really excited to talk to them because I'm not that familiar with what a pro Derby cross team competition is.
Well, uh-oh, I'll tell you what, we have our guests on here, and we have Samantha Lendl on the line and Jessica Phoenix, obviously a regular guest here on Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network. Let's say hello. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us on.
Well, we appreciate you guys being here. Now, Samantha, tell us about what exactly is a pro Derby cross team competition.
Well, pro Derby cross was originally founded by Sinead Halpin and Rebecca Howard and Dana Voorhees, and it's essentially a hybridized form of an eventing team competition. So you have solid cross country obstacles and show jumps that are in a ring situation, and we have. At the Pro Derby Cross in Wellington, there's going to be six teams of five riders. So there's three event riders per team and a show jumper and a polo player.
Now, I love this idea. What exactly made this, Samantha, like come into play here? Because you've got all these riders, you're trying to sell them on this. What was the basis for doing this competition?
Really, it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have a sort of a special competition where you're working with your friends in other disciplines. And it's the way of bringing eventing to new areas that, you know, event riders don't typically go to. So that's quite, you know, quite a big deal for all the event riders. And it's nice to have a presence in Wellington for them. And it's just, you know, the whole thing is just a great format. The riders ride to music. They, you know, they have to compete against the clock, and any faults or rails down with show jumps just get converted into time. So it's, you know, we never really have too much problem sourcing the event riders, and everybody just has a great time doing it.
Now, obviously, you've got the eventers who jump, and you've got the show jumpers who jump. How exactly do the polo players do in this type of competition?
Well, we actually work with Juan Salinas, who is a polo player himself and has been involved in Derby Cross for a long time. He helps us match up our polo players who usually have a little bit of jumping experience, whether it was as juniors, you know, as they grew up and were trying different things in horse sports. And then this year, Marcia Kulak has been available to give them some extra coaching down in Wellington. And the event riders bring extra horses for the polo players. And so the morning of Derby Cross, each of the polo players basically gets to try different horses, and they match them up so that they're, you know, comfortable with their mounts. You know, they get a little bit more practice time, but as far as their course is concerned in the ring, they do have a different course. They're basically jumping a novice level course all the way through, whereas the jumper riders and the event riders have, you know, a course that's a little bit more prelim intermediate.
Okay, Jessica and you guys, Samantha, I know y'all are happily married, but don't sit here and lie to me and tell me that you did not involve polo players because of their extreme good looks.
Come on. Well, it's certainly easy on the eyes to have our polo friends there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to, you know, I mean, how many eventers model, you know, or models? Probably not nearly as many as polo players. So I think you guys are very smart. A round of applause for involving any sort of no Argentinian polo player that you could possibly find. Jessica, tell us about your team. You're playing on the Omega Alpha team. Is it playing or riding on the team? How does that work?
Yeah, we have a stellar lineup of riders and horses this year. I'm really excited for it. We're actually sitting here with Rebecca Howard. We're warming up our Derby Cross horses right now for a jump school.
Nice.
So we're getting pretty excited.
And when you first crossed into Derby Cross and you crossed that start line, what was going through your head?
You know, it's one of the most exciting things that we do all year. Not having to do a dressage test and just being able to go out and go fast and jump good horses is a really exciting thing to be able to do.
And who's on your team?
We have Selena O'Hanlon, Rebecca Howard, Erin Ballard as our jumper rider, and our polo player is, actually, Samantha,
Martin,
do you know
Estrada.
Who our polo player is?
Yep.
Yeah.
We've got Martin Estrada from the great Estrada family of polo players.
Oh, this is awesome.
Martin Estrada.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and Google him and see. This is horrible. I'm sorry. I'll focus. So when is this event going to take place?
Well, it's January 20th. It's a 7 o'clock start at the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center, which is the home of the Wellington Winter Equestrian Festival. And for those of you who can't come, I mean, we hope everybody comes out. There's all the general admission seats are free. But it will also be on the webcast on the USEF Network Live.
Oh, great.
On the US. Perfect, yeah. Because we just watched a lot of stuff on the USEF Network. So it'll be live on there. Friday, January 20th, 7 p.m. Now, there's also another team that I have in front of me here, the Team Farm Vet Cavalier team, which is Buck Davidson and Bruce Davidson on the same team, a little father-son, you know, let's unite them instead of have them compete against each other. Was that planned, Samantha?
Well, basically, all the team captains are responsible for fielding their own team. And that particular team, FarmVet Cavalier, won the event last year. So they get to come back in full as a team, as they're the defending champions. But so, you know, basically, Buck, being the captain, originally last year fielded his team. And interestingly enough, all of those riders, Buck, Bruce, Will Faudry, Aaron Vail, are all FarmVet riders. So, you know, that made a lot of sense. And they are with Chris Campson, who's their polo player. And, you know, they all got along super and had a fantastic time last year.
I love the whole idea of it, the hybrid course, cross-country, show jumping, kind of all together in one arena. And also, David O'Connor, I believe, is the course designer this year again, right?
Yep, David has designed the course for Derby Cross the last 2 years, and he's coming back to do it again. And we really appreciate it because he is celebrating a big birthday right before. So he decided to maybe not go on a vacation somewhere and come to Derby Cross again.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wellington, Florida is a vacation. I don't care who you are. I mean, really. So, Jessica, how are you feeling about your chances this year?
I'm excited. We've been really training up these horses, and we've got a good team of riders. So I think that we've got a good chance.
All right.
We're
feeling good about it. You can let me know a little bit later where I can place my bets under the table, because I'm sure you guys, all you eventers, have to have some sort of something going on, and I want in.
Hey, Jane,
yes,
and Glenn,
sure.
I hate to chat and run, but I'm actually at a vet with my dog. It's a bit of an emergency,
go, go, go.
And they need to speak to me. So I really appreciate being on the show, and thanks
dog
so much. And I'm going to let Jess take on. Okay, bye.
All right, Samantha, bye-bye. Good luck. Oh, sitting there with her dog at the
Jesse,
vet.
Good luck this weekend. Have fun.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us on.
All right,
talk
Jessica,
to you later.
Talk
we'll
you
watch
soon.
On TV.
Perfect.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
I thought I heard a dog barking in the background there for a little bit.
You know, it sounded like an awful small dog.
I know.
A little, yip, yip, yip. Well, that's going to be cool. USEF Network, you can check it out. We'll post the link to it on our Facebook page if you want to go back and check it out. But, yeah, poor thing sitting at the vet with her dog. I hope everything's okay.
You know, I want to give you a trivia question for all those out there that might not realize. We were just talking to Samantha Lendl, and that last name might sound, if you follow tennis at all, it might sound familiar. Do you know who Samantha Lendl is?
Well, considering, we've talked about this before, I do know, and it's Avon Lendl, the tennis player. I believe it's either his daughter or his wife. I can't remember.
His wife. It's his wife, yep. So she is the wife of Avon Lendl, who was the number one player in the world for a long time. So that's Samantha Lendl. She helps out and volunteers her time with the Professional Riders Organization and puts a lot of time
cool.
and effort into making all of these events with the Professional Riders Organization really work. So we've got to give kudos to her for taking time out of her life to do this when she really doesn't have to. She just does it because she wants to. So she's out there helping represent the riders and do events like this to get the word out more and to, you know, bring some fun back into all the different sports.
Well, good deal. All right. Are we ready, Glenn, for the Monday?
Yes, we are, but there's no music. So we're
you
ready.
You don't have any music?
I don't have the music. It didn't get uploaded this morning. What are it's a Monday.
So I had to play something. Of course, what we're talking about is every Monday we cover all the news that's been going on over the weekend that you might have missed. And Glenn, as far as the USEF goes, they are in the news big time today because they had the Horse of the Year awards this past weekend, but a lot of other people won some awards as well.
You mean at the USEF?
Yeah, at the award show, Four in Hand driver Chester Weber won the Becky Grand Hart Trophy. So that's a really big deal. He had an amazing year. He won four CDEs in the United States. He also went to Europe and won overseas. I mean, he has had an amazing year, and I just thought, you're kind of like, your driving hero is Chester Weber, am I correct?
Yeah, he wins something pretty much every year at the awards, so
oh,
I
really?
Just looked at it and went, oh, Chester won something again. Yeah, he does very well. He does very well. Has a nice little farm down there in Ocala, like 1,400 acres, and is absolutely drop-dead beautiful. Just a beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, amazing. Well, another story for you, Glenn, is I want you guys to participate in this because this is for recreational purposes only. It's the first study in 35 years that is going to go on in the state of Kentucky. State and federal organizations are conducting a major survey of the horse population in Kentucky because they want to develop some plans to move the industry forward. Now, this, whether you believe it or not, that's what I would like to believe it, but sometimes, you know, with the census, they just try to figure out ways to tax people more. But this is actually, they say they're trying to figure out how many horses are used for recreational purposes in the state of Kentucky because they want to potentially be able to do some trails and some bridle paths and do some different kind of recreational horse things in the state of Kentucky. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, it would be, and I know that I knew that they were going to be doing this, and of course we have a governor who's very into horses, so that helps. You know, Governor Beshear
Correct.
And his wife Jane are very,
exactly.
very into horses. Yeah, so.
His wife is into horses, which means he's into horses. He's like the
he's
ultimate
a fox hunter,
horse
though.
Husband.
He's
oh,
a fox hunter,
he?
Right? Yeah, he fox hunts all the time. Yep. So he's into it too. She just has more time. He kind of has to run the state on occasion.
Well, definitely check that out. It's KentuckyHorse.org. If you are living there, you guys got to go fill out a survey about Beaker and let everybody know about your little quarter horse that you hang out with and check it out. And you can read more about the study on KentuckyHorse.org or on the BloodHorse.org, BloodHorse.com.
Well, I know that you always count on me to bring the important stories here on a Monday, so I didn't want to disappoint. Oh. And believe it or not, and this has never happened before, Beyonce has showed up in our news not once, but twice from the weekend. And
what?
Yes,
twice?
I'm not kidding. It does relate to horses. Beyonce had just had a new baby. She just had a new baby. The name of the baby, believe it or not, is Blue Ivy. That is the baby's name. So
wait,
Blue Ivy.
Hold up. Blue yeah. Ivy is the baby's
Blue
name?
Ivy. Yeah, Blue Ivy.
Okay, that's
funny. I don't know what Beyonce's last name. What's Beyonce's last name? Knowles?
Well,
what's her last
she's
name?
Beyonce Knowles, but did she take his name? But who's
I don't
her
know.
Husband? What's his name? We're so bad.
I know. I don't know. But anyway, Blue Ivy received some gifts, of course, from some very famous people. And one of the gifts that Blue Ivy received was a $600,000 golden rocking horse. Yes. A $600,000 solid gold rocking horse, which was handcrafted by a Chinese jeweler named Ginza Tanaka. And I'm not sure who gave the $600,000. I don't really see that in here.
They don't say it. That's odd. Maybe it's
say,
the Chinese
yeah.
jeweler.
Oh, by the way, Blue Ivy's last name is Carter. Carter. Blue Ivy Carter. Carter.
Okay.
If that weren't enough, the party didn't stop there. It is reported that Blue got other what a weird name, Blue. Got other fancy gifts that has totaled to be worth $1 million. Some of the items were a $15,000 crystal studded high chair, a $285 Jean-Paul Gaultier silk burping dress, and a $19,000 fantasy carriage crib from Posh. So I think the baby's not hurting, probably doesn't need much right now. You can go ahead and give the gifts that you are planning on giving to Beyonce's baby Blue Ivy to charity. I think that would be a better bet.
I'm noticing here that Oprah sent Beyonce a gift, and it's very reasonable. She sent over some children books. Of course, the children's books were enough to fill a trunk. So she's got a trunk of children books. So good for Oprah for sending something reasonable. But then Kelly Rowland, the singer, who's Beyonce's cousin, sent over several $300 cashmere blankets. Why does a baby need a cashmere blanket? I don't know, but I would like one. Where can I get one?
When you throw up on cashmere, is it any different than when you throw up on cotton? Just checking.
Well, let me just tell you this. Don't wash it, because my husband, I have one cashmere sweater. One! And somebody in the household, not naming names, Chad, went ahead and decided to do the laundry and collected all the clothing around the bedroom, even though the cashmere sweater was draped nicely over one of the bars in our room, and collected the cashmere sweater, took it into the washing machine, and then put it in the dryer. And I have a cashmere sweater for my guinea pig now.
I was going to say you can fit it on your little dog.
No, it's pretty much guinea pig size now. Yeah, favorite piece of clothing by far. And
it's a lot of
now.
Pressure on tourist husbands have, but we wash our wives' sweaters. I will not wash any sweaters from now on, because I have done that to numerous sweaters of Jennifer's, and I just don't wash sweaters anymore. And I know she gets upset, but, you know, when I do the wash, I take the sweaters out, I put them in a pile, and I say, they're your responsibility. I'm just not responsible anymore. It's just too much pressure. Can't do it.
That would be fine. That would be fine. And because all the unmentionables that he has thrown in the dryer, the bras that now have, you know, one underwire and one not, I think he's now learned to just take the bras and do the same thing. Just throw it in the corner. I'm not touching it. Anything like that. He doesn't dry my riding pants anymore. He's like, I don't know what to do with these things because they're all full seats. He's like, whatever. I'm not doing it. So
it's a lot of pressure being a horse husband that people do not realize. A lot of pressure.
You're right. It's just awful, isn't it? Just awful.
It is. Well, Beyonce's second note in the news was a little interesting. Apparently in Australia, a newly discovered horsefly was so bootylicious with its golden hairied bum, and I'm not kidding, this fly, there's a picture of this fly, has a gold butt. It has gold hair on its butt. It's a gold-butted fly. And they said it was so bootylicious that there was only one name they could give this newly discovered horsefly, and that is, yes, Beyonce. So not only does she now the proud owner of a $600,000 rocking horse, she is now the namesake of a golden hairy fly horsefly out of Australia.
The Beyonce fly. Wow, fantastic. Hey, I've got
a
real story. I've got a real story for you if you want to hear. This is actually amazing. I want you to prepare for this. Are you sitting down? You should be.
Sitting down. Yep.
The Colorado backcountry, there were some people snowmobiling in the Colorado backcountry. And they were, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere. And it is snowy there. I mean, just, you know, feet and feet of snow. They're driving around on these snowmobilers, and what do they see? They see a horse out in the backcountry in the middle of nowhere wearing a saddle. Not to mention the saddle is actually upside down at this point underneath the horse's belly, and it is almost starved to death. These guys from the snowmobiles got off their snowmobiles and walked the animals the 8 miles through the snow to safety. What's really also amazing is it had been in the snow for 4 months. Can you believe that?
And it lived? With a saddle on it?
With a saddle, he had a huge wound on his side. The saddle had flipped over underneath his belly. It was apparently incredibly difficult for him to walk in the snow with the saddle on his belly. And they have not found the owner, and they have named him now, and he may go up for adoption, and apparently tons of people want him. His name is Survivor. Survivor.
Wow.
CBS Sport did this report.
Did they find the rider?
No, there's no rider, and apparently he's been loose for 4 months in the park. In the park, it's just in the snow. 4 months outside of Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Wow, what an amazing story! Hey, do you want a horse that's tough? There's one to adopt. That's a tough horse.
No joke. Apparently, there's a lot of people.
And I think we could call him an easy keeper.
You know, it does beg the question, what happened to his owner?
I know.
Is he frozen somewhere in the snow?
I know. But I was wondering. I thought that maybe there was another, the other half of this story wasn't so good. We don't know.
Yeah, no, this is it. That's it. They may find him when in the thaw. Who knows?
Wow. That's something else. Hey, there was bad news over the weekend in Wellington, speak of Wellington, with a top show jumper and Olympic hopeful for 2012. Doesn't look so good now for the United States and McLean Ward. He underwent surgery Sunday morning in Wellington Regional Hospital. He took a spill on a show on, I think it was Saturday night, and it was his first ride into the ring, and he was going through a double combination when both he and his horse took a left out of the double combination. And apparently, I didn't see the video of this, but apparently they both went down, and the horse is fine, but Ward sustained several compound fractures of the patella, his knee, and he was operated on, ironically, by the guy who helped run the Riders for Helmets symposium on Saturday, Dr. Craig Farrell, who is the Olympic team doctor for the United States. Dr. Farrell was there helping run that on Saturday and was operating on McLean Ward on Sunday. So he actually rode earlier in the week. Everything was fine, and he won a couple classes, but Saturday night was not so good. As I said, the horse is fine.
Apparently the horse, spooked and went into a standard and flipped. Oh, I mean, they fell, right?
Yep, they both fell, yes. They came out of this combination and fell halfway through, apparently.
Well, it's McLean Ward. And, yes, he may have had major surgery, but I guarantee that he's going to be on a horse within the next month. I mean, these guys are so tough, and they don't care.
Yep. That's right. And, he'll be back in no time at all.
Back.
This is not his first broken bone, that's for sure.
No, I'm sure. Hey, sad news today, but we need to honor a little friend of ours named Eeyore. Eeyore was, when he passed away in England, he lived in Mottram, St. Andrew, England. Eeyore was the world's oldest donkey, and he was put down humanely at the age of 55. 55
wow.
years old. He was owned by Selwyn Demme, who is 79 years old and has had Eeyore his entire life. Can you imagine how much 55 years of feeding a donkey is going to be? I mean, my God, that's an expensive
wow.
donkey.
55 years old. We had a horse that lived, my pony lived into her early 40s, but we've never had one cross 50. That's very
No
rare.
Way. 55.
Yeah,
and apparently they said that he wasn't feeling very well, so they had the vet out, and the vet came out and did a bunch of tests, ran a bunch of blood work, did a bunch of tests, and then explained that maybe it was time to put him down at 55. So, I mean, still to the last moment of his life, he was getting the best care. That's why he lived to be 55, I guess.
Wow. Sad to hear about the death of a 55-year-old donkey.
I know. Go ahead and give us the lotto rant that you have about the Powerball, Glenn.
I went to buy a Powerball ticket. We talk about the lotto here because we always have these dreams of winning the lottery. So I always buy $5 worth of Powerball tickets a week. And I went to buy my Powerball tickets yesterday, and she said, did you realize that Powerball tickets are now $2 and not $1?
What?
I mean, that's like double the price. And she said, yeah, they're $2 now for each Powerball ticket. So I got on the line, and I went, why is that? Why are we having inflation with Powerball? Like, they don't take in enough money. So this is their spin on it. This is the spin. The Powerball tickets were doubled to $2 January 15th. Tickets for Saturday night's drawing, blah, blah, blah. The Powerball is also looking to decrease the numbers to choose from, which will in turn raise the odds. So they're decreasing the number of numbers that are available for the Powerball so that it will increase your odds. Get this. Now, keep in mind they doubled the price of the ticket.
So your odds are going to go from 1 in 192 million to 1 in 175 million. That's right. 25 million less. You have that much increased odds. Your odds are still 1. Now, if you're doubling the price of the ticket, I want the odds to go from 1 in 192 million to half of that, to 1 in like 90 million. But no. It's just they're stealing our money.
No, you do realize that they were stealing your money before the increase in price. But, yes, the odds doesn't sound very good either way, either way you look at it.
Yeah, but it seems like they're stealing less of our money when it's only a dollar. Now when it's $2 a ticket, it seems like they're stealing more of our money. Now it's getting to the point where it's just ridiculous. I don't know if I can play it.
Yeah. Because it wasn't ridiculous before. So the good thing is now if you spend $20 to get, you know, you used to spend $20 to get 20 tickets. Actually, the odds were exactly the same if you had 10 tickets. So you can still spend $20 for 10 tickets and pretty much have the same amount of chance of losing your money, which is about 100%.
I don't want to hear the logical argument here for the lottery because then I wouldn't play.
Okay. We'll let you have it.
Oh, by the way, the article goes on to say you still have a much better chance of being struck by lightning. By the way, being struck by lightning is only 1 in 300,000. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's a much better chance than much, much better.
And you don't have to pay $2.
Yeah, might as well just go ahead and do that, Glenn. That you got a better chance. You know what? You could be killed by a terrorist, struck by lightning, or win the lottery, and your chances still of winning the lottery are less.
Well, that's true. You know, there is a good point here. I do want to win the lottery, and I don't want to be struck by lightning. So I'm still kind of leaning toward the lottery myself.
Well, let's go ahead, and if you do get struck by lightning, don't ever play the lottery again because your odds of doing both are probably even less.
Yeah, you know, Robert did make a good point, though, Robert Dunn, following us today. And he posted on Facebook, Glenn, the minimum grand prize pot is now also doubled. So it's 40,000 instead of 20. When somebody would win the lottery, the pot would go back to 20,000 and start from there.
Million.
They're now starting
million.
At 40,000.
Million. So. Million.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Million. Yeah.
Can you hear me today? All right. I got one last story, and then we're going to wrap up this show. My God. Steven Spielberg's War Horse did not win Best Motion Picture Drama this past weekend at the Golden Globe Awards. And the motion picture drama went to the movie The Descendants. I have not seen it. And it also was nominated for Best Original Score, but the award went to The Artist, is the movie. War Horse was nominated in 7 categories. It did pick up 1 award, and you cannot disagree with this because it was just beautiful, but it won the award for Best Cinematography. So that one won. If you recall, Buck the film was up for Best Documentary, and it actually was up 6 nominations, but it did not win the Best Documentary Feature. So Buck the movie about Buck Brenneman, directed by Cindy Meehl, did not win. At least War Horse won one, right? It might be
so
nominated
Buck didn't
for
win
an
anything?
Oscar. No, I don't think Buck won anything.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Bummer.
All right, let's wrap this day up. Glenn, you need to go home and take a nap.
Okay, that's good. I'm all for that.
All right.
Say goodbye, Jamie.
All right, please, everybody, spay, neuter, and geld. Have a great day. End the show right now, please.